Kevin, you want this? Meet my brother, Will. Will Evans. With you, Kevin.
Say hi to Will.
Will Evans, nice to meet you.
Kevin. Well, wait, there's more.
You need this on you for doing that part.
Oh, my God. Smoking Joe.
Smoking Joe.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
Turn off your cell phones.
Oh, I have one Bible.
2 Corinthians chapter 6. So is he talking to you, Gary?
Yeah, I'm...
Did you turn your cell phone off?
I'm on vibrate, so if I light up here...
Second Corinthians, chapter 6.
I'm going to start wearing a name tag, I think.
Smokey, yeah, John. I knew him many, many years ago. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be you not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you should be my sons and daughters. There's been a jillion commentaries about what it means to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Well, guess what? I believe it's talking about you being unequally yoked with your own mind. Because Christ is really the only one that believes, and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so you being, you're unequally yoked with the whole system of life that you've inherited, whatever it is. Now, the question is, are you unequally yoked with your mind? And all the counselors, your own Sanhedrin, your 70 elders of your mind, the voices that talk to you. I promise you that if you give one breath to an emotion or a thought that you have, then you're unequally yoked with an unbeliever. You understand that? You've been taught to love your mind. All of us have. Love as a verb simply means to give breath to give importance to. You've been taught how to think. You've been taught how to reason. You've been taught all of these systems. You've been taught, for instance, and we've talked about this before in here, but you've been taught in our society that a particular grouping of grunts and groans means a word. And so there's a particular unique grouping of grunts and groans that mean Gary. And we know, but we had to have an alliance to agree that those grunts and groans meant Gary. We had to have an alliance and an agreement. We were taught from the time we were had self-awareness that this is what you did in this society. We were taught that a bunch of scribbles on a paper meant a word. And everybody in our society had to agree to that. Otherwise, you were an outcast. And so all of us bought into the idea that these sounds, and all of us had to agree to it, mean this or that, and these scribbles mean this or that. Do you understand that? The scribbles nor the sound are not the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But we've been taught that this is the Word of God. If you believe what it says of itself that the Word of God isn't this. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. Is that, can you comprehend that? And so we've been taught, essentially, what we've done in much of religious society is we worship the Bible instead of Jesus. Now this will hurt your brain unless you can get around it. We've been taught, and we've been taught for a long time. You'll see that was a pun in a minute. We've been taught for our whole lives that forever means a long, long time. But it doesn't. In the meaning of the words for forever and eternity in the scriptures, the meaning of the word, it's in Hebrew, it's ha'olam. It means the vanishing point. Time is no time. I mean, eternity is no time at all. But we've said, the scriptures tell us that the gift of God is eternal life. We've been taught that someday we're going to cross over the Jordan and we're going to enter heaven. No. Heaven came down to meet us on the Feast of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. And all that we are doing and all we've been doing for 2,000 years is trying to have our minds renewed to see that wherever we look, wherever we, whatever, anywhere we look, it's finished. Anywhere we look, it's perfect. You've been perfected by one offering forever. And you are the temple of the living God. So, think about it. You've been perfected forever by one offering, and you're the temple of the living God. Well, look around. Is there anything in here that looks like perfection? This is why, in order to understand the meaning of the New Testament and all of the scriptures, you have to first have accepted and understood the book of Ecclesiastes, which, by the way, about 23 church councils over the years have tried to remove the book of Ecclesiastes from the scriptures. Because the book of Ecclesiastes makes fun of everything that you think is important. Family values. Have you ever looked at Jesus about family values? You can't come to him unless you hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, and your own life also. Oh, it's political. We're going to have a godly country. Have you ever looked in the scriptures? All countries are but dust. The small dust of scales are meaningless. What's going on then? Something that's far greater than we can imagine. That you are the temple of the living God. That took place on Pentecost. Not only did heaven come down to meet on Pentecost, but the seed, the sperma of God, was shed on all flesh on the Feast of Pentecost. So that each one of you, but the best the human race can be, is the sperma of God. And that's why to be born again. You can't be born again and continue on as you were, or I'm going to get born again so I can, you know, get straightened out in my life. You get born again in the same way you were born in the natural. A sperm cell went up the birth canal, entered the egg, and it lost its identity. When you come to the end of yourself and you enter this mystery of the New Jerusalem, which is all around us, then you have lost your identity. The scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. The human race died on the cross. Well, and what's going on? There's another being. There's another entity that's trying to get something from God. And we've been deceived our whole lives. And our churches and teachers deceive us more. And we love the deception because we want to know how we can be fulfilled, how we can get stuff, how we can pray, how we can do all this stuff. No, you don't. You know, the reason you want all that is so you can be in control. And so there's a being, there's something, there's another one inhabiting the temple. And guess what? He is called the Antichrist. An anti, as you know, it means it doesn't mean against, it's the instead of. So if you're the temple of the living God, then who is the instead of Christ? You must know. It's the one that needed all of those alliances and all of that training to learn how to have these scribbles mean this. And there's been somebody masquerading as the real you since the moment of your self-awareness. And he's called the Antichrist. We're not waiting for the Antichrist to come and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. The Antichrist has already come and is inhabiting you, the temple made without hands. And you've done everything you can to try to hear what the Word says, try to understand it, try to do the best you can. But in the midnight hour, you know you're a fake. Every one of us does. You know. That's why there's only one thing that can happen. That's why Jesus said, the first thing he said to his disciples was, deny yourself, pick up your cross. The word deny is the Greek word apodiomai. And it doesn't mean, well, I'm going to give up cigarettes for a week, or I'm going to give up pepper on my ice cream for Lent. It means take and give absolutely no thought of or about or to yourself. That's what deny means, abandonment of self. That's what repentance means. It means leave yourself behind. Mm-hmm. And every word in the scriptures teaches this. And there's just one story. And that's why we must pick up our cross. Abandon ourself. And those two are summary commands, by the way, in the Greek. Abandon yourself. Pick up your cross. Those are summary commands. The follow me is the natural response of those two commands. You can do nothing else other than follow him if you've picked up your cross and abandoned yourself. Because you know that you've been perfected by one offering. You're totally free. You're free from the constraints and the lies of your own mind. You're free from all of the crap of this world. There's neither male nor female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, black or white, old or young, because there's a new creation. Do you believe? It's interesting. Today's preachers, they think they know more than every single one of the New Testament writers.
Amen.
Because they say that the last days are coming. Every one of the New Testament writers knew they were in the last day. Why? Because at this minute Christ gave up the ghost, the sun darkened. And that was the beginning of the last day, because Jewish day starts at sunset. And for 2,000 years, we've been in the night of the last day, waiting. And the patience of God, the long suffering of God, putting up with our bullshit.
Make it plain.
Well, now it's time for you to recognize with everything in you that you are the temple of the living God. That you have been perfected by one offering. Right. That you no longer listen to all these stupid voices that lie to you in your mind and haunt you in the midnight hour. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed.
That's right.
But freedom beyond any comprehension of some harebrained dispensational plan of, well, this is what's going to happen over here and then that's going to happen. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren. Now beseech is a word where Paul is begging on his knees. That's what beseech means. We beseech. How long does it take to find 2 Thessalonians? While we're waiting, you know which book of the Bible has the most revelation of Jesus Christ? The people that are from here don't count. Which book of the Bible has more revelation of Jesus Christ than any other book? The book of Leviticus. Because it takes the intricacy of every single offering of the Bible. And those offerings met every possible need that you could ever have. And it shows how Christ is the fulfillment of all that. And then you can understand how you've been perfected by one offering. Is everybody there now at 2 Thessalonians? You finally find it, Don? Our big Bible scholar here. Smokey found it right away. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, and the word coming is parousia. It means it can either be translated as coming or presence. I prefer to translate it as presence. We beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now that sounds like the opposite of everything I've just said. But watch. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, in fact cannot come, except there come a falling away, an apostasy first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the day of the day cannot come until his people see and know and recognize who the son of perdition is, who the man of sin is. It's you. It's me. It's the whole human race. And his number is 666. Because you've spent your entire life trying to reach 7, which is rest. And you've never been able to. You've got brief moments of rest. But then some new thing comes along. And so best that human race can do is 666666 ad infinitum. Because you as a human being cannot ever reach rest. That's why you must reckon that you have been crucified. You are dead. There's another that lives within you. Now watch. This man of sin, the son of perdition, looks at what it says. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Who does he show that he's God? Himself. Everybody else thinks he's a fool. But he shows himself that he's God because he judges for himself good and evil. Isn't that what you do daily? And so every time you do, you resurrect that one from the deadly head wound on the cross. And you... That's why you can never, ever have fine peace. Because you constantly resurrect the evil one. This is the essence of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And again, hear me. What hallowed be thy name means is that if you once ever complain about anything, you're not hallowing his name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. What's the next verse?
On earth.
No.
It's actually in earth.
Thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. Because the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. All things continue as they were from the beginning. You will never have a sign. So it's in earth, you as the earthen vessel. It's in you where the kingdom of God is manifested. And the prayer is, may it be in heaven, in you as it is in heaven.
Right.
But everybody, if you look at any of the new translations of the Bible, every single one of them says on earth. And that's why you can justify all these harebrained ideas and evangelistic schemes that waste more money than you can ever believe. Because they're trying to have the kingdom of God on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, or the bread of the face. Let Christ himself be our only sustenance, our only satisfaction. Because he is the bread of the face. He is. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, our debts or our sins. The only way that you are forgiven is when you forgive everybody else in the universe from the heart. And if you can't forgive, then you better be careful. Forgiving isn't a suggestion. It's a command. If you can't forgive everything and every circumstance instantly, then you better find the fear of God in your life. Thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. And that's a unique word in the Greek. It means let nothing lead me back inward. Because inward, in my mind, is where the temptation is. Lead me not into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver me from the evil one. You. Because this Christ in us, the hope of glory, can have no agreement with this evil one, you and I. Let's go to Philippians 3 real quick. Philippians 3. Everybody there?
Yeah.
He's talking about having confidence in the flesh. Verse 5, he says, circumcised on the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, boasting in the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted as loss for Christ. Why? That's not what you believe. You believe that if you study the Bible more, if you read all the books on how to pray, if you really, really, really just want more of God, then you're right. You're sincere. You're in the right path. No. Whatsoever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. There's no merit in losing all things. The merit and the understanding is when you count everything that you've lost as dung and want nothing more than you have right now. That's the evidence. Examine you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Examine yourself. Prove that you're in the faith. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you do not know that he is in you, then you cannot repent.
Right.
You can only repent after the world. You can, oh, I'm sorry I did that. I'll do better next time. 10,000 repentances. But the godly repentance is repentance not to be repented of.
Amen.
Because you have left yourself behind. Now I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I yet live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You start out having faith in God, but now you live by the faith of Christ, it's because you've abandoned yourself. Your work is done. You have nothing left to do. Your warfare is over. You lost. That's time. The day cannot come except the man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed. It can't come to any one of us until we know that. That I am the son of perdition. My number is 666. Think on these things. Anybody have any response?
I had a strong response when you said that for 2,000 years we've been in the night of the last day, and the response to me very loudly was, we just repeated that, take heed as unto a light shining in a dark place till the day star arise.
Till the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart.
I was thinking about when Paul was battling within himself. What is this? Why do I continue doing the things I don't want to do? That whole...
Yeah, he says that every time I want to do good, evil is present with me.
What's going to save me from that?
Only Jesus Christ. Who's going to deliver me from this body of sin and death? Nobody. You've heard me talk about this before, but that's a unique form of Roman punishment. They took a dead body and chained you face to face with the dead body. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? And if you have any integrity at all, you know who that body of sin and death is. It's you.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, no, I'm getting better every day. You're a friggin' liar. Every day, in every way, I'm becoming a better and better person, and I'm improving. No, you're not. You're a better hypocrite. I'll shut up now, thinking these things. Anybody have anything else? Don? Oh, come on.
I think too much already.
Here? No, no. Here, kitty, kitty.
Struggling is with it.
Well,
thank you for this.
No, it's interesting to enjoy listening to you. So the whole part of the self kind of still pretty.
You think you've been free from alcohol, but are you free from the wine of self-seeking? The only reason addiction exists is to show the rest of us how we are totally addicted to ourselves. How you doing, Smoke?
I'm good, man. Good word this morning. Good word.
All righty.
Good word.
Take it, big guy.
All right.
I'll call you later.
Stop. 11.
Oh,
how you doing?
I've got...
Oh, yeah.